This hour of the show is brought to you by Zero Res of Northern Arizona.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today from beautiful, warm Camp Verde. Angela's here for a little while as we kind of wrap up a very busy week on my equipment here.
Yeah, the backup
stuff. I got my backup equipment, so it is what it is. Lucky we made it on.
I know, right?
Okay, a lot of items I want to hit on here. The Maui fire, and of course they're, you know, enough is enough already. Of course, they're calling it climate change. Right away, people come out, oh, the reason why there's a fire in Maui is because of climate change. Everything that happens now is climate change.
Yeah, it's their answer for everything.
Yeah. Well, everything, I guess it still is. Everything is racist, too. Mm-hmm. But now the new thing is everything is racist and climate change. So you got to throw that all in there. But obviously, you've got that fire that, last I checked, over 50 people had died, and fast moving. And sometimes it's tragic. Sometimes everything just lines up, though, and something hits. And there was a hurricane out there, and fire
started.
It's just
like the perfect storm.
It's the perfect,
the story of, you know, the shipwreck, the storms.
Oh, yeah.
The movie they made
in the 90s there. Yeah,
it was a true story where all the storms just kind of like collided at once. And
yeah, everything lined up. Yeah. And you know what? It's like that fire that happened up there on the peaks, just like kind of by a snowball, and the toilet paper guy, and then the wind just happened to be hitting at the right time, and it just ripped through.
Little thing on fire, and it caused this massive.
I don't blame that on climate change, and it's just I've got some of the clips, or not clips, but the tweets that people put out. Also, I want to hit a little bit on this FBI raid that happened up there in Provo just 2 days ago, and this guy was, you know. They came in at 6. Look, he threatened the president on social media. Social media is just idiocy run amok at this point.
Yeah, but wasn't he like 300 pounds?
He's 300 pounds.
Using a walker. And
he couldn't walk.
They killed him, right?
They killed him, yeah. They killed him. And I don't know what happened, so you're not there.
I thought they were going to stop doing that.
They stopped doing a no-knock middle of the night. That was the IRS, I think. The IRS I think all these federal agencies should be stopping doing these kind of raids and this kind of stuff. And I look at this, and the guy put out, because Biden was visited Arizona, and then he hit like Utah, New Mexico, whatever. And they had visited this guy like months ago because he had posted threatening things to Biden, which you shouldn't do. And they should have investigated, and they did go investigate. And then Biden, of course, goes to Utah. So he made more threats, so they got a court order saying that they can go in. They send in the SWAT, the FBI, and they break the door down basically with a tank, battering ram tank type thing. 6 in the morning, flash grenades go in there. And you try to think about how you would react if your home got hit like that while you're sleeping. And your first reaction is probably grab a gun.
Right.
I don't know if this guy did that or not.
Go hide or something.
Yeah, something like
trying
that.
Trying to escape or something.
But here's there's a couple things here on this story. Don't post things like this on social media. Don't do that. Why would you do that? So the FBI should have investigated him, but why does it end in a death? I'll hope that there's investigations. The FBI doesn't have the body cameras. Most local police organizations around the country now have the body cameras, so you can see all this stuff. Sadly, if this guy had been a 300-pound, if he was a black guy, there'd be people rioting in the streets right now.
Oh, sure.
There would be. And that's the case. So this guy, though, that's not going to happen. He did make threats. I'm acknowledging that. Mm-hmm. But why did it have to end in a death? And why doesn't the FBI pick these guys up? I was watching that Waco. There's that whole Waco. We had the anniversary of Waco just recently. Mm-hmm. And then there was a series with that guy, Michael Shannon, I think his name is. And they were, you know, both sides made tons of mistakes. And then they did the Waco follow-up one, which the ending was pretty bad as far as the trial. And they blamed it on people who called themselves patriots and this and that. So that's typical Hollywood. But my point being is, you know, they could have gotten that guy, Koresh, you know, when he's going to the gas station or something. Why didn't they get this guy? Why does it always have to be so grandiose?
Well, and if he had made threats, before this, that time,
yeah,
you know, in the past, then why wasn't there ever an arrest or
they didn't
charges
arrest him for some reason? Then he made more yeah. threats on top of that. So yeah, finally, and then the president's visiting Utah, so they're like, okay, we better scoop this guy up. But why not? I heard on Glenn Beck, he interviewed some one of the guy's friends at a church, fellow churchgoer, that had seen him like a week before. So this guy got out, mm-hmm. and you know he couldn't get out without assistance, the walker, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Why don't they pick these people up at the gas station, at the grocery store when they're getting out of their car, or yeah. you know they're holding two bags of groceries trying to get them in, and you're like, okay, and take them in,
yeah.
If that's going to be the case, it doesn't make sense how they're operating. And I'd say, and I'd like people's thoughts on this: the body cams. What do you think about the body cams? I've always been an advocate for it because it puts people on notice, who are law yeah. enforcement, who, hey, wait a second, you know, this is all on camera, this all is all recorded. Yeah.
And heard some police places have gone to those. I thought a lot, you know, it's been more and more.
Yeah, I think locally, kind of adopted that. Locally, yeah. most have gone to this. I'm talking yeah. your local, your state, right. even statewide have gone to the body cams. And why haven't the feds? And I heard somebody getting interviewed on another show who was former FBI, former SWAT. And he's like, well, they're going to say, we don't want to give up our tactics. I think everybody knows the tactics at this point. I mean, is yeah. this really that hard to unearth? And you could even put this out to like an independent review board and say, here's the body cam footage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's review, not a bunch of, you know, people in the government, but somebody
yeah.
to review this stuff. And say, it just seems unnecessary how this stuff, and the FBI is under scrutiny as it is. And yeah, like I said, the guy may have been guilty as heck. They may have right. went in there and he may
yeah,
have
brandished
a gun. Yeah,
but they still had a plan in mind for how they're going to do this, you know, raid on this guy's house. Yeah, and because yeah. they don't, it's not like they just kind of on a whim one day and like, oh yeah, we're going to go.
Let's go,
you know,
in
2 hours
and grab it.
It was all planned out, and I'm sure they had it planned that way for a reason.
Yeah. So anyway, it just continues on. You know, enough is enough. That's why you need local control. You need local sheriffs. You need local, because it's different. Mm-hmm. It's different than the FBI, the federal police, let's call them coming in and doing this stuff, because they have no connection to the community. They don't know what's going on. So anyway, love your thoughts on that one. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Let's hit on a couple others though. But first, oh, I want to thank Mark Howitt for filling in yesterday.
Yeah, I heard part yeah, of it.
We're down here, and he did a great job. Thanks to Joe Hazel and Adam Shimoni, former Vice Mayor of Flagstaff, for coming in with Mark as well. Really appreciate that. If you want to get a way to save some energy costs, which I got a story here about how you're spending, your household is spending about an extra $900, and it's going over to Ukraine. So, you know, the government's, the Biden administration and these, and really we got to blame the Republicans and the Democrats in Congress who have agreed to spend this money. Not all of them, but most of them. Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. gung-ho on sending all this money over there. But if you want to save some money, because, hey, $900 means a lot, and you want to save some energy costs, getting a new set of blinds is a great way to go. We got new blinds in Flagstaff, last year or so?
Yeah.
And Blind Brothers, they did an awesome job. They look great. They work great.
Yeah, they came in, they measured it, they helped us pick out the color we wanted and the style, and then they came back, like, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks later,
yeah.
and put them all in.
Took out the old ones, put in yep. the new ones. You want to get a great deal on blinds, they'll you mentioned a Jeff Orvitz show, you can get half off on the installation, 928-634-2423. Jesus, this screen is small. 928-634-2423, or go to theblindbrothers.com. Hey, it was either this the B-rig here, or we were doing a replay. We're like scrambling last minute. Is this going to work? Yeah, call them up and mention a Jeff Orvitz show, you can get that half off on the installation as well. All right, so Biden asks for $13 billion more to go to Ukraine in this sinking, and the media, the mass media, the what do we call them, the corporate media, they're finally right in the stories of what's going on over there with Ukraine and Russia, and Ukraine is not doing well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is the amount of lives that have been lost. You know, I wish this conflict wasn't happening. I wish this thing would end. It's been over a year now. You look back on all the media lies, though, and it's like Putin was going to be dead in a couple of days. He was like getting chemotherapy. They said, remember that in the beginning?
Yeah. He wasn't going to be in power very
much
longer.
People take him out. I mean, it's just like, I don't know how anybody listens to these people anymore. And he's still there. Ukrainians are facing massive losses. You got to get these two sides to the peace table.
Yeah, rather than keep shoveling money over there and sending tanks and planes and everything else, then why don't they... I mean, why isn't there peace talks?
Get to the peace talks,
like,
because
something's got to happen.
Look, there's been a border dispute there between Russia and Ukraine forever. We've helped instigate things there. There's bad going on all around. Get this thing settled up. Fortunately, it hasn't turned into World War III yet. But we should not be, as Americans, we should not accept the amount of money that's being sent over there and spent. Unaccounted for. You don't know where this money's going. 113, this is what we know of. And you know everything we know is inaccurate when it comes from these people. These people are professional liars. $113 billion has already been sent over to Ukraine. Now Biden, he wants $13 billion more. So get this. He puts in a request. Hey, Congress, we need $20 billion because we got to beef up the national disaster. Let me find this article. He wants $7 billion to replenish the depleted disaster relief fund. So those of you over in Maui, where 50 plus people are dead, the town is wiped out. So you look to your fellow countrymen, help us out, help mm-hmm. rebuild, help deal with this disaster, right?
And Biden has pledged, they have all the support they need.
Okay, well, support takes money, and this country's broker than a joke here.
Well, they're depleting the funds given them to Ukraine, then.
Exactly. So he requests $20 billion, so $7 billion to replenish the depleted disaster relief fund. Now, this happened... He announced this right before the Maui fire hit, mm-hmm. right? Because hurricane season's coming up. And by the way, if the hurricane season's active, it's going to be climate change. We haven't had an active hurricane season in a few years. So when that happens, it's not climate change. It's just we don't hear anything.
Yeah.
It's like the media, again, the corporate media, they sit there and you have 3 or 4 years where there's no big hurricanes or there's just one or something. And you never hear, it's been very quiet. It's been very quiet. No, they just wait until it's an active hurricane season. And then all of a sudden it's like, this has never happened before.
Right.
It's so active. It must be climate change. But anyway, he wants to replenish the disaster relief fund. To the tune of $7 billion. So let me spell this out for you. You, as the American taxpayer, you get $7 billion of your money returned, basically, through disaster relief. You send $7 billion to D.C. They give you $7 billion. But no, you really send $20 billion to Biden and the gang there. And you get $7 billion back if you get an unfortunate situation like Maui. And Ukraine gets $13 billion. I mean, does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It sounds to me like Ukraine just keeps coming back and...
We need more money.
We just need more and we just need more. And they probably do. But, you know...
Endless.
It's like the family member, the kid that doesn't want to leave the house, and they just keep coming back to mom and dad for, I just need, $150 for my car insurance this month, and I just need, a little bit of gas money, and it's just nickel and dime all the time until someone says that's enough, we're cutting you off.
And that's what's going to, here's the sad reality. Eventually, that's what's going to happen here, is it's going to
party gets in the presidency, hopefully, but that's a year and a half out.
Well, true, but this stuff, America, we keep going through this where we get into these battles that we can't win. There's no defined, what's the victory course here? I mean, Afghanistan, 20 years, Iraq, you go back to Vietnam. Yeah. We keep doing this over and over again, and somebody's pocketing the money, somebody's making all the money. So the Ukraine aid has cost each U.S. household hundreds of dollars. Heritage Foundation budget expert Richard Stern says the formal aid packages alone amount to a staggering $113 billion, roughly $900 per American household, and almost 12 times the spending cuts promised by House leadership in the annual spending bills. They said, we're going to cut things. They're never going to, the Uniparty will never cut anything. It's not going to happen. So $900. So let me ask you this. could you use $900 in your household?
Who couldn't?
Right? I mean, you're out there and you're trying to figure out how to pay for food, gas,
childcare.
Gas is going back up again. Childcare. Yeah, kids are back in school. Childcare. Housing has gone way up. And these guys have the audacity to send $113 billion to Ukraine, untracked, unaccounted for. You know what's going to happen eventually is this thing's going to end. And that, what's that guy's name over there, the president? Zelensky. He's going to be sitting in his home in Miami. Where is it, Miami or France? Or he's got homes all over the place. He's going to be sitting there, you know, as the exile guy.
Yeah.
And it's the hundreds of thousands of people that are going to be dead over there. And it's the billions, hundreds of billions of dollars this will wind up. You don't even know what this is really going to cost.
No.
We'll find out later.
No one knows. You can't know.
Unbelievable. So as with all new federal spending, Stern added this $113 billion spending spree was added to our national debt, which now is what, over $32 or $33 trillion, if you believe that. Mm-hmm. I don't even believe that anymore. And will cost more than $300 in interest costs per household over the decade. And of course, just keep shoveling the money in. Just keep shoveling.
Well,
need more cowbell.
You know, there hasn't been an uprising or anything like that to stop it.
Yeah,
exactly. And we control the House.
I know.
The Republicans I shouldn't say we, because I'm not a Republican, but they
You're
control the
more
House.
And more people.
And they're just, okay, you know, where do I sign?
Got to help. We've got to stop. It's like they keep saying the same thing over. If you don't stop Russia, they're going to spread through the rest. Come on, give me a break. If they can't even get through Ukraine, I mean, eventually they're going to have to settle. Something's in that Donbass region is going to go to Russia. You watch, and it's all going to be for nothing.
Or we could stay out of it for a really long time and see how it
unfolds.
What happens, see what happens. And
why don't we get back to worrying about what's going on in our hemisphere here?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got drugs pouring in. We're trying to help control the border in Ukraine when we can't even control the border here.
They
don't care about the border here. Unbelievable. So here's a couple more for you on the let's switch back to the Maui thing, the Environuts. Actually, let me get to our next great sponsor before we do that. And remind me to bring a bigger screen next time. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com.
Maybe
always,
you need reading glasses.
Yeah, maybe I do. this weekend, you want to get out in cool high country. No matter where you're at in northern Arizona, head on out to Williams, to Ms. Kitty's Steakhouse right there on Route 66. Great steak, great menu there. You can have a great meal. Say hi to the former longtime mayor, John Moore, who owns the place. And he plays the part that he is that. He's a cowboy. You go in there at Steakhouse. John Moore's a really good guy. Support a great Northern Arizona business in Williams. Get on out there. Have some fun. Enjoy all the shops there. Stop by for breakfast. Maybe go early. They've got great breakfast. So you're heading out there for the weekend. Go by Miss Kitty's Steakhouse. Get some great food. That's Miss Kitty's Steakhouse in Williams. All right. Here's a couple of the comments from the Maui disaster and the Environuts. They just can't help themselves. It's like 3, 2, 1, here comes. You know, the tweets have to start going out. So here's this really bad representative from Missouri, Cory Bush, one of the squad, original squad members, a diehard leftist. My heart breaks hearing of the devastation in Maui. Okay, of course, it's going to start. The climate crisis is here, and it's killing people. It's time for at POTUS to declare a climate emergency. So declare climate emergency, so maybe we'll all, you know, then he has executive powers. And let's get to the dictatorship here. Heartbreaking fires in Hawaii. So this one is from Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon. So they always start off with a couple of words of condolences. Thank you. So heartbreaking fires in Hawaii. Scientists are clear that climate chaos wreaking havoc on ecosystems everywhere is the new norm. We need to take action immediately or else it will get even worse. What action are these people going to take?
What are they going to do?
Even if you buy into the we've caused all this, it's the end of the world. What are they going to do? Oh, we're going to, you know, dim the sun. We're going to, you know, build big biodome, like those science fiction movies. There's going to be a big dome over the city or something.
Well, and even if we were to say, all go all electric and slash the carbon dioxide and stuff in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, would it reverse whatever they say is, you know, happening with the warming ocean currents and the drier conditions?
No, they'll probably make it
worse. I mean,
worse.
Would it even matter?
Yeah, they'll probably make it worse. Here's another one. This is from Representative Barbara Lee out of California. My prayers are with all impacted by the devastating wildfires in Maui. So they all start off with one sentence of condolences, right?
Of course.
CA 12, and the rest of the country stand ready to assist in the recovery. Okay, she had two sentences. The climate crisis is in crisis. The climate is, oh, I'm sorry. The climate is in crisis, and it's not up for debate.
No, we're not allowed to question. You can't question it. It's settled. It is settled.
Yeah, remember COVID, you know, remember wear your mask and 6 feet social distancing and wear your mask outside. And don't question that vaccine.
Well, 15 days to flatten the curve. Then we need another 15 days. Then we need 30 days.
Yeah, okay.
Don't question it.
Don't question anything. These people are geniuses. They're the expert class. So, yeah, it's... the climate is in crisis, and it's not up for debate. We must declare – what these people get like a script from Central Casting here. So this same wording, the climate is in crisis, and it's not up for debate. We must declare a climate emergency and act before more lives are lost. They don't even know what – these people always shoot off their mouth before they know all the details.
Right. How do they even know for sure what happened?
What would government have done? What would I have done here in Arizona? What would Angela have done, or you all out there – that would have helped prevent the Maui tragedy out there.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to act like they can wave a magic wand. These are the people, remember, that can't even fix the gas can or the light bulb or a bridge or a dam. They can't do anything. They can't get anything right. They've run the country into the ground. They've run the budget into the ground. They don't even have a budget. They just they don't even raise the debt ceiling. They eliminate the debt ceiling. They just suspend it. Well, I mean, these people are incompetent.
The news is always so sensationalized, and I'm not trying to undermine or say that it's not a tragedy and what happened is not unfortunate and everything like that. I'm not trying to say that at all, but. You hear it on the news and it just sounds like this gigantic, huge, massive disaster. And in reality, sometimes it's just different.
Yeah.
You know, and we know this from forest fires near our house or near Flagstaff. And I get people texting me from out of town and they're like, oh, are you guys okay? And it's like that fire is 15 miles away from us. Yeah. But what they hear on the news is Flagstaff is burning down.
Flagstaff is burnt down. That's what they heard when
and
we had the fire.
And Maui's burning down.
Yeah.
And I don't know all the details.
You don't know unless you're there.
Yeah, I do. My aunt and uncle are friends with someone who lives in Maui, and I texted them today to see if they were okay. And they said, they got evacuated the first night just like in case scenario. And the next day they were allowed to go back home and it was fine.
Yeah. I can't trust anything these people say.
Exactly.
Because they've said so much and so much has been wrong time and time again. The mass media, the corporate media, and these politicians.
Well, they want to prove their point and they'll go to any length.
It's got to be the climate. Everything is the climate crisis now. Unbelievable. Just shut up already with it. All right. Because these politicians are so incompetent and they're controlling vast sums of trillions of dollars, I encourage everyone to learn more about physical gold and silver. I'm not going to tell you what to do when it comes to your finances, of course, but I'll tell you what we've done as a family. We've, over the years, bought gold and silver. We securely store it in a secure location, but within a reasonable amount of time, you can get to it. And you know what? Call Justin at Desert Gold Exchange. He'll tell you all about that. He'll talk with you about storage options, things like that. And plus, they keep their overhead low. They pass those savings on to you and make sure you get the best deal out there. I want you to put them to the test. I think you're going to find that their prices are some of the best in the nation. Call Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. All right, we're going to be doing a business spotlight with Glenn Least coming up soon, talking about ESGs and environmental social governance, this nonsense, what it means to your investing, what it means to the future here in the country as far as these companies and these big investment houses. It's insanity. Wait till you hear some of these details. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Car repairs can be stressful. Jeff Horvitz here. And since most shops pay their mechanics a flat rate based on the auto repair, your mechanic can either be racing against the clock or tempted to tack on extra parts. Now, crazy country boys, they don't play that game. and their shop rates are about 30% less. Now, Big Jim makes sure his technicians are not rushing and that you only pay for the parts that you really need. As a TechNet through CarQuest Service Center, all parts and labor are backed by a 24-month, 24,000-mile nationwide warranty. Now, CarQuest, that's another great company in Flagstaff, family-owned auto parts store in Flagstaff, serving you for over half a century. Don't overpay for auto repair or service. Call Big Jim at Crazy Country Boys Services at 928-607-9753. That's 928-607-9753. 928-607-9753. Crazy Country Boys Services, using only CarQuest guaranteed auto parts. Crazy good. Just past the Flagstaff Mall off the East Empire Avenue exit. This portion of the show is brought to you exclusively by Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. This is the Jeff Orbit Show Business Spotlight, where I bring you happenings in the business community, the financial markets, real estate, and much more. And we talk with and invite great guests that help us break all this down. On this episode, Glenn Least with WT Wealth Management, let's talk ESGs. What is it and why you should be paying attention to this? All right, welcome, and I do have our good buddy Glenn Least with WT Wealth Management with us. Glenn, oh man, we've got a big one to talk about here today with ESG, and I mean, it used to be we talk like the ABCs, but now it's the ESG, I guess. What is?
Yep.
How you been, by the way?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. I've got a funny story about a Tesla, because I was actually in Seattle for a week and got to actually drive a Tesla, and interesting experience with that. But
it's
no,
an impressive. It's an impressive car, though. I mean, I have.
Oh yeah.
Bruce Sithlinger, who's a frequent guest on the show, he has two of those. He was one of the early ones that got one, and nobody had one, and it was, you know, just super novelty. And he took me in it, and it throws you back in your seat. The pickup speed.
Oh yeah, it goes zero. The ours that we got was 0 to 60 in like 2.5 seconds or 3 seconds.
It's crazy.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, if you someday decide to buy a Tesla, Glenn, you will probably pop your ESG score up a little bit. I think a lot of people are familiar with it, but what does that stand for? What is ESG?
Yeah. So ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance. And so it's a metric that a lot of companies have started to adhere to boost their social credit score and their clout within the society to say, hey, this is what we're doing, you know, to better be a better steward of our company, which in premise sounds really good. However, it's kind of been used in a not so good way, or it's maybe gotten off the rails a little bit. And that's where our conversation comes in today. So say you have a company like Facebook. So what the ESG does is you've got a company like Moody's or Fitch or some other rating agency that scores this company and scores in a bunch of different areas. And based on that, spits out a score, 1 to 5 stars or whatever the scale is at the time. And if you're 4 stars and above, then you're doing great. You're getting an A grade and you get included in a lot more funds, retirement funds, and, you know, different, you know, asset managers, you know, will include you in there. And then if you don't get those scores, you'll be excluded. So there's been a lot of companies that have been trying to get their scores up because it makes a big difference. You know, if you have a company like Vanguard or BlackRock, you know, who are including you in their funds, you know, that could be a 15-20% stake in your company. And if you're not included because you don't meet the ESG scores, you can be excluded. So as a basis, that's kind of what ESG stands for. And I can go into each detail about, you know, the E, the S, the G, you know, what they're looking for. But that's the basics of it, is they're trying to give the score of how they're doing each of those areas.
Well, yeah, and I think we should go into that a little bit more, Glenn, because, I mean, this is becoming a huge factor going forward, ESG. I think a lot of companies are making really dumb decisions to try to get that score. Let's say you were a traditional, I don't know, energy producer or whatever, and your dirty coal, whatever you want to call it, or, oh, those petroleum producers. Well, all of a sudden you're like, oh, let's add some solar panels, or let's do this or that, which we normally would never do because it doesn't add anything to the bottom line. And that's not what our business is, but we need a good ESG score because we want our shareholder price to go up and we want to be, you know, we want BlackRock to buy us. I mean, do you think it's leading to poor management decisions?
100% yes. And I'll give you a good example. So every company, their main goal is to, you know, provide a good or service to their clients or customers, make money, and be more profitable each year. So all their guiding business principles or policies should be in that direction of how can we make that equation better. And so a lot of times with the ESG movement, they've made a shift from increasing shareholder value to increasing stakeholder value. So they've kind of made this tiny, what seems like a tiny shift, but it's actually a massive shift, because stakeholders can be anyone that has any affiliation with the company. It could be, you know, the community, it could be a customer, it can be an employee. These are all people that have no financial interest in the company or no ownership. And now that allows that company to push and further advance whatever social issue they want to, even if it's bad for business. And, it's clearly, in a lot of cases, like Anheuser-Busch, it'd be hard to argue that their recent marketing campaign has been good for business, because they're down $26 billion and they're laying off tons and tons of people. I mean, I can't imagine working for that company for, you know, if I was an employee working there for 10 or 15, 20 years, and then all of a sudden losing my job because of some, you know, ill-advised marketing, you know, plan that they did that really just destroyed their company. So just as further a social issue, like, that's not good for business. And it's clearly demonstrating to other companies like Target. Target got hit with a $6 billion market cap loss after their latest controversy that they've been going through. So, yes, you are 100% correct. Some of these policies are not good for business, but the thought process is they're good for whatever social issue they're trying to achieve, which, you know, is why even go down that route? My question.
And you hit it, Glenn, and Glenn Lees is with us. You hit it with what is the purpose of these companies. And I sum it up even a little differently, and well, maybe just even shorter. You can put it on a bumper sticker, to return value to the shareholders. I mean, that's why they really exist, is you buy a stock, you buy a piece of that company, and you're hoping to get a dividend back, or that the stock value will go up. It used to be you'd be buying these and getting dividends back, and you're making a return on your investment. And normally, if I buy that stock and maybe I have some interest in the company or some say, I buy enough of those shares, I go to the meeting and they listen to you, Glenn, and they say, yeah, we didn't make a good decision here. We're going to make changes. But now they're not listening to me or you or the small or medium-sized investors. They're just listening to these big conglomerates, that the big hedge funds that are buying everything up.
Yeah, and so that touched on the, I've actually got good news with all this, because we've got a way to fight the good fight, if you will, as a firm, if you're not into the ESG thing. But a lot of these companies are feeling pressure from these large institutional asset management firms like a Vanguard or a BlackRock. And say, you know, you're BlackRock and you own 20% share of Target through all your different funds, and you say to Target, hey, this is what we want you to do. We want to want you to implement this DEI policy, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And if you don't, you know, we're going to ding you, or we're just going to divest from you, meaning we're going to pull our funds. Well, you as a company are going to say, oh my gosh, we need to comply. We're like being forced into a corner. And so the real problem is these large asset managers have so much sway that the companies are kind of being forced into that. Because think about that. If you're a Target and you're in a shareholder, or you're in the meeting, you know, with the top executives, you own a bunch of shares of the company, you wouldn't want to implement policies that are going to directly affect the value of your company and affect the value of your shares. You're going to say, hey, whatever social issue or thing we're trying to do, whether I agree or not, let's talk about business. This is going to hurt business, and that is not what we're designed to do. And so one way to combat that, because a lot of people have felt powerless in this whole situation, because there's some companies you can boycott. There's a lot of other companies that, frankly, we can't live without. Like, what else are we going to do? Like, you know, if you don't like Verizon Wireless, like, there's, I'm not going to go with Boost Mobile, because Verizon, you know, gives solid service. And so it's kind of like a lot of people feel trapped. Like, their voice can't be heard. There's no way to make a measured change. But we actually have a great solution for that. We may call it the anti-ESG portfolio, where we can fight back.
Yeah. So what is, and let me just real quick before I forget, you made a good point on you have to do business with some companies. Okay, you don't like Verizon. Okay, I got AT&T. or what's the other one? Sprint or something? Is that still around?
Yeah.
Okay, I need a bank that has presence in all the cities in the country. I don't like Bank of America, so I'm going to go to Wells Fargo. I mean, it's like there's not a lot of difference, so you kind of get stuck. But I like the, what do you call it, anti-ESG fund?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Break that down.
Yeah, so it's actually, we just rolled this fund out about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And here's the premise, is that we realize boycotting these companies may not have an effect, or we just can't boycott them at all because they're so ingrained in our daily life. And so what we're doing is, as a firm, when we own, because we have quite a bit of assets under management, but say we have, you know, 500,000 shares of Apple between all of our clients, we can actually go together as one voting class and say, we're only going to vote for policies that further the growth and that further the value of the shareholders. That is what we want to focus in on. And anything that's not in line with that, we're going to vote it down and say, let's get back to just doing business. Let's get back to just selling a great cup of coffee or producing a good car, whatever the case may be. And so it's a way for investors to really still be able to own shares of these companies, but feel good that measurable change is happening. Because if enough people do that, maybe there's like 25% of people that are doing these, you know, type of anti-ESG movements, and they can vote with their, you know, their shares, and make a measurable change at the board of directors level and the policy level. So I think that's something very exciting. And to my knowledge, there's not a whole lot of places offering an alternative, to the ESG movement.
Yeah, that's interesting. That may catch on. I should always put my disclaimer here. I'm interested in that personally, that sounds really interesting. Full disclosure, I obviously invest some with Glenn and with WT Wealth Management. Glenn's also a sponsor here, great sponsor here on the program. But I deal with people that I like to deal with, that I have a lot in common with. And I also like when I hear things like anti-ESG fund. But of course, investing always has risks. I'll throw that out there, Glenn, right?
Yeah.
But setting that all aside, I'm going to be talking to you on the side, because I'm curious what's, again, I don't give any individual stock or any kind of individual advice, but what's in there? Like, can you say, or is it still, is that something people should call? I'm real curious, like how do you even find companies that fit in that parameter?
So this is the beauty of it, is even if the company doesn't fit in that parameter, say for example, Walmart, and this is like a completely made up scenario, but say Walmart, you know, is implementing all these policies that are really bad for business, but we own a bunch of shares of Walmart. We'll then take those shares and vote accordingly to say, hey, let's get back in line with, you know, good business policies. So that way we don't have to specifically search out a company that is, you know, doing things the other way, which there are those companies that are, you know, still doing business to be in business and offering a good or service and not doing all the social commentary. But even those that are, we can still own them and feel good to know that we're actually making change. It allows you to invest, you know, and have a clear conscience to know you're not part of the problem. You're actually part of the solution.
Well,
so to answer your question, that's how we do it. We'd put like an overlay in your portfolio, and we would enable that ability. And there's two ways of doing it. And I can kind of cover, you know, how specifically we're doing that and why it's so, I think, intriguing. Yeah. Okay. So the first way is, if you have individual stocks in your portfolio, because we have a couple different versions of portfolios. Some of them are big buckets of mutual funds or ETFs. And then at a certain account size, we can then do the same thing, but actually own the individual shares of the company. But if you only have like 500 or 1,000 bucks, you're not going to be able to buy 300 different companies or 200 different companies. But if you have a couple hundred thousand, you can. So we have a way to do it both at the mutual fund level and the individual stock level. So one of the mutual funds that we're really excited about, it's called Strive. And actually that company was created by Vivek Ramaswamy.
Running for president.
I didn't even know that until recently. And I already liked what I was hearing from the guy anyways. And then I found out he was offered this mutual fund, ability to kind of fight back against that. His company's been doing quite well and it's growing very fast. So we're looking to implement that on the mutual fund side, and then also some individual stock voting on our side, so that no matter what size client if they want this, we can implement it for them.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, I think the good news is people are fighting back. And if they're not fighting back in the way you're talking about, the Anheuser-Busch debacle is a perfect cautionary tale to the boardroom folks and the shareholders that when they see somebody come and say, hey, I got a great idea, let's do this. And they're like, oh, Anheuser-Busch. And I feel bad for the people that have lost jobs and stuff like that. I always do, but sometimes there needs to be an example put out there and a success in halting this stuff going forward. All right, Glenn. Interesting stuff. I suspect that you and I will be talking a lot more about ESG, environmental, social governance, as we go forward. But I'm glad to hear that you're fighting back some and look forward to having you back on real soon. Throw out your info there real quick. I know you guys, you can come into your office, you can call up, email, anything like that. So, people can get in touch with you and have that one-on-one conversation.
Yeah. My office number is 928-225-2474. Again, that's 928-225-2474. Or they can stop by the office. We're on 813 North Beaver Street, just south of the hospital, and or email at intelligentinvesting@wtwealthmanagement.com.
All right, Glenn. Talk with you soon. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jeff. You bet.
You've been listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show Business Spotlight. Check out more of my interviews and videos by going to talkwithjeff.com or look up Jeff Horvitz on YouTube. Please subscribe and comment. Also, check out and subscribe to the Jeff Horvitz Show on your favorite podcast provider. And remember, this interview is for informational purposes only. I do not give financial advice. You should seek out a financial planner or a financial advisor when making any investment decisions. This segment of the show has been brought to you exclusively by Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. Give Glenn a call at 928-225-2474. Waiting until a recession becomes official would be very late to make any constructive changes to your portfolio. Jeff Horvitz here, and Glenn Least and his team at WT Wealth Management know that predictions about what the markets might do are often wrong. That's why it's better to prepare than to predict. Glenn can help you strategically position your portfolio based on where you are in your financial life. Making emotional decisions is not a good strategy. It leads to selling at the wrong time and waiting too long to get back in when turnarounds happen. Glenn and his team help you build a portfolio that fits you like a glove with an investment strategy that targets capturing upside potential while mitigating risk during difficult markets. Glenn's a fiduciary who shares your values. Call Glenn Least for a complimentary portfolio review at 928-225-2474. Glenn and his team have an investment strategy to give you confidence no matter what curveball the market might throw. Call Glenn Least at 928-225-2474. All right, that's it for this hour, and that's actually it for me for this week. We're going to have an encore presentation of the hour here if you missed anything. Coming up here in hour two of the show. Next week, busy program. We're going to have Congressman Eli Crane, Bruce Sidlinger, I think Kelly Broadus, Tom Pearson with the Flagstaff First Group, and many others. Mark Howitt will be back. And thanks again to Mark Howitt for filling in yesterday. Don't forget to get the podcast by going to talkwithjeff.com. Subscribe, and I appreciate everyone who's doing that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.